Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 244, part 1, Fruitless Vines. Today is Friday, April 27th, 2012.
Tonight's message is entitled, Fruitless Vines. But before we enter into tonight's message from Ezekiel 15, 1 and 2, and I always kind of like to go back to David. In Psalm 107 and 37, and sow the fields and plant the vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. And I think we can learn from that men work when God works. That's the only time we really work, is when God is working. So here we have his blessings encourages the sower, cheers the planter, and rewards the laborers. See, it's all God. And that not only the necessaries, but the luxuries are enjoyed also. We get to eat of the fruit of our labors. And so I think here then again that also divine visitations bring great spiritual riches. Maybe some preachers are listening on the radio. Maybe you understand what I'm talking about. Divine visitations, when God visits you in that quiet night, in that encouragement, in that rain upon that dry soul and spirit. But anyway, divine visitations bring spiritual riches. And I think they foster varied works of faith and labors of love and cause every good fruit to abound to our comfort and to God's praise. And so when God sends blessings, it does not supersede but encourages, and also not only encourages but it develops human exertion. It gets us going. God primes our pump. And so the Bible says, Paul plants, Apollos waters, and God gives the increase. Did you ever wonder about that one? See, God is the one that does it all. I was watching last week an educational movie. I love those kind of animal shows they have and so on like that. But anyway, it was about the desert in the rainy season. And it showed how the rain came down. It was so dry and there was tumbling weeds blowing around and all kinds of cactus and all kinds of dirt. Nothing growing. But it rained and rained and rained and rained and rained. And then all of a sudden in a time-lapse type movie, it showed these plants and all these things coming up out of the ground. God giving an increase. But anyway, he softened up the earth, that hard shell that was there. Didn't look like anything was there, really. But all of a sudden, there were frogs coming out of this dry, hard dirt. Well, it wasn't dry and hard because God had softened it up. But anyway, they had crawled under and they had learned to live under this kind of dry time. And they started to come up out of there, and just enough of them were alive to reproduce and become fruitful. So they were out there blicketing, blicketing, blicketing out there, calling on mates, and then they showed these little tadpoles by the millions. And then, of course, some of the tadpoles, they fed some other kind of life. But anyway, all these flowers were coming up, and then it showed a close-up of some kind of, looked like a prehistoric fish of some kind, and it worked for 5 hours down below in this great big now a pool of water, and it was pushing on this and pushing on, pushing away, and finally it come up out of that that pool that was a dry earth before, and then it showed all of the animals coming in to this harvest. And I think the same is still true, is it not? God sends encouragement to us. And then we yield a harvest. I think the dry time in the body of Christ, all over the body of Christ, is suffering a dry time. It's going to get drier. Totally dry. You know what it's getting ready for? It's getting ready for, the Bible calls it, the latter rain. An abundant, if you will, harvest. And so as we enter into Ezekiel 15, 1 and 2, let's enter in with a thought in mind that we only work when God works. But after all, aren't we also, we are the works of the Lord, aren't we? Aren't you God's handiwork? And you only work when God works. And then I'll just, let me read verse 43 here. And it says, "Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord." A lot of times we miss it. In other words, it's saying those who notice providences shall never be long without a providence to notice. I mean, if you're looking for a blessing, if you're artful in looking for a blessing, you're always going to find one. Well, you're always looking for a trial, hey, you're going to find one too. And there's so many that are always looking at trials and tribulations, and what they see, they miss the blessings of the Lord. And you have to, I said, become artful in seeing those things. Now, the last few days here in the mission, the whole of last week, God has brought me help down here, I'm telling you. And I thought, oh, is this ever a blessing of the Lord? All of this help coming in. Then this call from this church and some other ones. You see, we can get to looking at all of those kind of a things, those trials, and you can get to boo-hooing so much, and your eyes get so full of tears and get so red and so mattered up, you couldn't see a blessing when it came and slapped you up alongside of the head. Say amen, somebody. My Lord. Woo! Are you hearing this? Oh, going through such a dry time. Hey. God is the one that's going to give the increase. But you got to plant that faith that He gave to you. That mustard seed full of faith that He gave to you. You have to plant it. I think it's also very wise to observe what the Lord does. Because, you know, He gives wonderful counsel. The Bible says He has given us eyes to see with. Well, I believe we're missing many blessings because we have dumb eyes. Jesus said, "You have eyes, don't you?" Well, they weren't very smart eyes. They were dumb eyes. A blessing, in other words, can be right before us and we miss it. We're so tunnel visioned that we miss a blessing because we're just, we just go by sight. Now look what happened. How is God ever going to work out something in this dry, old, hard time? Why plant now upon the rock and the dry and the path? Well, it says, sow the seed. God is the one that's going to give the increase. And so a lot of times we're hearing people praying for prosperity, and it's all around us. His works. Well, prosperity is what? Prosperity for your soul. Of course, now if you don't want to receive it, you aren't going to have it. I wish above all that your soul would prosper. Why is it a wish? Because a lot of people just don't want to do it, man. They just get caught up with dumb eyes. I think we ought to write a song, "Them, Their Dumb Eyes." Jeepers creepers, look at them dumb peepers, something like that. Oh my God, how people lose their sense of humor in such a hurry. They just totally lose it. Oh, I've lost it. What did you lose? Lose yourself. Get lost. Dry up. People say dry up, don't they? Oh, go dry up. Thank you. I think I will. Let God rain on me. Bring forth new life. So I think we must become very artful, I said before, at seeing and enter into His works and become fruitful. Miss it. So many times people go through the whole of their life and they miss it. Aren't your children a blessing? And a lot of times people, oh man, I just wish them kids would get out. You know what I mean? Well, that's fine to get them on their way and everything. Maybe God even gives you a little bit of that desire so you'll kick him out of the nest. I think he probably does. But look at your home and look at your health and look at all the blessings that we have. And we can just get so tied up. And so we talk about the hard times. And we live in the hard times. And we turn the lights way down low. Get an old Pepsi and an old record and turn it on. God, then we just sit there and mush it out. Oh, Lord's sakes, oh, God. Go up in the attic and say, remember when? It was no better then. You just think it was better then. You were the same old, down, dragged out, face dragging on the floor, liver-lipped, complaining, bawling, looking at the dry times, fellow, that you are right now. And you ain't never going to change till you recognize and you get better eyesight, get rid of them dumb eyes. You're not looking for it. There's so many things that are a blessing. And they be looking you right in the face and you miss them. Praise God that you got a job. Praise God that you got a nose full of air. Fruitless vines. I think we need to remind one another in this end time here. Oh, golly. Ezekiel 15, 1 and 2 then. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any other tree? Or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest. He's talking here to the Jewish nation. They had become very arrogant and puffed up. And they had puffed up ideas about themselves. Just as we can have. You know when you have puffed up ideas about yourself? Everything is a drag. But anyway, when they sinned against God, they thought, well, we have special rights because of our forefathers. And we'll be delivered anyway and excused from sin as we please. And so because of their many previous deliverances from distresses, they thought, well, you know what? We're number one. And that's where we got in the Christian world. Well, we just can't preach any kind of negativeness because God just is going to do everything we ask Him. We're going to walk in there and claim it. We're going to thump our little thumper feet and go to it. Because we have special rights. There's 7,000 promises and I'm going to claim them all too, boy. And so you see, God had to humble them, and that's what's happening right now. God is causing a humbling, and people just don't know how to take it. They had to take away their pride. Well, maybe you have something that's your pride. Oh, that's my pride and joy. It's gone. And anyway, he tells them, you are not above any other nation in yourself. You're no better than anybody else. You're no better than the people out there in the world as far as tribulation and suffering and so on like that. Claim and use your old thumper foot all you want to. It doesn't mean a thing to me. He probably thought, whatever gave you this kind of an impression? I have often called you a vine. I have planted you. I have nurtured you in a very fruitful hill, the Bible tells about. But now you bring forth no fruit. What is there in you that I should continue you in my favor? What makes you think, in other words, that you're something special? If you imagine there is anything about you more than any other nation, you are greatly mistaken. What is the vine tree more than any tree, more than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? And so, see, God does not alter his eternal purpose towards any chosen vessel of mercy. He's going to have his way with you, whether you like it or not. Said it, and I am glad. And so Israel, the nation, wasn't chosen to eternal salvation as a nation, but it was chosen to special privileges. A type, the Bible says, a shadow of that eternal personal election, which is, of course, Christ Jesus, and that he has given to his church. And then from his own elect church, God will never withdraw his love, never. But from his outward, from his visible church, he sometimes may, not from his children, but professors who minister external conditions, legalistic, outward religion, all for show. And so anyway, in this, God humbles Israel by reminding them that they have nothing more than any other nation. So many times you'll see in the, so much. Now I think in the whole, the last 14 years of this movement, that we've gotten to think that we're more than what we really are. So God checks out their pride and humbles them. Humbles them with this parable. This parable is also for us. We can learn, I believe, two things from it. A lesson of humility for the saints. A lesson of searching for all who are professors. I think we all need to search ourselves and say, hey, isn't there something I can praise God about instead of complaining about? Why not ask each other, hey, how about, is there something you should praise God for this week? Is there? Well, I've missed a lot of them because, you know, sometimes I got dumb eyes. I get caught up. Sometimes my ears causes eye failure. You hear something and then you get dumb eyes right away. And you just walk in. You ever see somebody good? They get discouraged because they hear something and then they get dumb eyes. And they just get dumb eyes. They don't see nothing. They don't care about nothing. They don't care about anybody. They don't care about people's feelings. They don't care about nothing. All they care about is what they hear. Well, did you hear that? And then they don't see. They get so mad they can't even see straight. I remember at work one time a guy tore off his apron, and this was about 30-some years ago. Tore off his apron, and he come around his bench, and he was going to poke me in the face. He says, I'm so mad I can't even see straight. I said, you haven't got your glasses on. Woo! Well, maybe you don't need this message, radio audience. Maybe you cannot relate with this. Well, you're going to have to relate with it. Can anyone in here relate with this message? I can. I can relate with it. Ooh. And so he checks their pride, and he humbles them with this parable, I said. And so first, a lesson of humility for all of us who have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Times we have to be humbled. Do you remember, hey, God is the author of all of this. So he goes on, what is the vine tree more than any other tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? And so now in looking at all these other kinds of trees, we see the vine is distinguished amongst them, brought up, brought to the forefront. So as in the parable then of Jotham. The trees, it says, waited upon the vine, and the trees said unto it, come thou and reign over us. But you know, without its fruit, it's even less than the rest of the trees. We can do nothing with the wood of the vine. The Bible says, shall wood be taken thereof to do any work? Can you use the vine for any kind of work? Or will men make a pin of it to hang a vessel thereon? No, it is useless apart from its fruitfulness. And if we're not fruitful, we are useless. What good are we with them their dumb eyes? What good are we if we get caught up and we lift ourselves up and we say, we're something special. Why is everything happening to my vine? Oh God, what's happening? Maybe there's a pruning going on. Sometimes we may even see its beauty trained up by the side of our walls. But you see, with only leaves, the vine is useless. Now this is a humbling message for God's people, I believe. They are called God's vine. But are they by nature more than others? Others are as good as they are by nature. Can you run faster than someone that isn't born again? Some oak tree? Some weeping willow? Some ash? Or a maple maybe, or an apple tree? Some are even greater and better. Have you ever seen people? Some in the world, and they just go through traumatic things and they keep right on a plugging along and they complain not about one thing. You don't see them complaining about anything. Not that we don't have troubles and we pray with one another. I'm not talking about that. But to live in that kind of a melancholy, oh my God, I can't stand it. I can't stand to look at one more melancholy face. I think I'm going to scream if I look at one more. And the whole of the Christian world right now, the most of them, I'm talking about the movement group, are so melancholy, I do not believe it. What happened? I thought we were the vine, the chosen ones. I mean, we had 7,000 promises. None of them are working. And they get dumb eyes. And they get to looking at one little owie, and man, they'll look at that thing until the sun goes down, comes up again upon their tired eyes. Dumb eyes. How many hearing this? And so they don't see any of the blessings of the Lord. Because after all, we're the vine. What's going on, Lord? I want you to keep in mind as I go on here about that desert scene I told you about that dry time. But some are even greater and better. They work longer. They work harder. Even in Satan's church, Jehovah's Witnesses, man, they are ringing doorbells night and day. Aren't they? Look at the Mormons. Aren't they? What have we got to boast about? Man, they got to go out there with a bowl haircut and the pin sticking in here and that same colored suits on, high water pants on, trench coat, and they got to go out and do the thing out there. You can see them coming a mile away, hey? But they got it down. They got it down. I think that's what we need to do. We need to get the message down. We need to get the spiritual high we're on, so you can get down to the gospel message. Get the gospel message down. I mean, get with it. Understand it to its fullest. And so even some are even greater and some better. See, they by God's goodness have become fruitful because they were planted in good soil. You know what? The Lord wants glory from them. But what are they, these vines, without God? What are they without the continual influence of the Spirit? Well, sometimes they feel like, you know, well, I just don't feel the Spirit anymore. The Spirit's there and it's dealing with them, but they feel like the Spirit's got to give them that 14 goose pimples on the left elbow, and they got to have that auditorium high. It's almost like the Rome Arena high. And they got to have that continual high all the time. And let's get in the Spirit. Come on now, come on, let's all together now, like cheerleaders. Come on now, you're not trying to, someone's holding back. Someone's stopping the move. You can't stop the move of the Spirit. Who in this circle is holding back God's hand? Hey. So they like to blame it onto somebody. Did you feel that oppressive spirit that was there? They ruined the whole meeting. God wanted to move, but they held back God. And that's where the Christian movement is right now. I've never seen the like of it. If I every time felt that kind of oppressive spirit wouldn't go on, I'd be in my grave right now. Well, oppressive spirits belong in hell. And so to hell with oppressive spirits, right? So you got to say that just right or somebody will say you're swearing. Huh? And that's another thing we have. We nitpick. The world doesn't do that. They just say what they're going to say, and that's it. Drop dead, and they leave. Christians say drop dead. They make sure that you're dead. And so what are we without God? What are we without the continual influence of the Spirit begetting fruitfulness in us? Well, see, we got dumb eyes. We see something coming. We see the pruning shears coming. God, who caused this? Are they not the least among the sons of men? And believers, let's look on ourselves as we are. Let's look on ourselves, radio audience, as we are. Tell the truth. Doesn't your very conscience scream out? Doesn't your 1,001 wanderings stand before you and your wanderings and your walk and tell you that you are unworthy to be called his son? Does not your weak mental power, your frail moral power, your continual unbelief? Oh, we don't have those things. We all do. Your personal backsliding from God tell you that you are the least of all saints? Now, any blood-bought Christian is going to know and is going to feel like they are the least of the least. And I'll tell you something else. And if he has made you anything, are you not thereby taught that it is all by grace? free, sovereign grace which has made you differ from all or at all? Should any of you listening on the radio suppose themselves to be the children of God, and that you suppose it, imagine that there is some reason in you why you should have been chosen. Well, God chose me because. Well, if so, know this. You are yet in the dark concerning the very first principles of grace, and have not yet, as simple as you may think it is, have not yet learned the gospel message. If you have learned the gospel, if you have ever knew the gospel, you would confess this, that you are less than the least, and I'm talking about from the various high, I don't care, evangelist, way up there, okay? That you are the most unworthy, the most ill-deserving, the most undeserving, the most hell-deserving, and say, it is all grace which made me to differ at all. And that's what you got to come to. And that's what the whole movement is going to have to come back down to. A total confession that we weren't what we really claim to be. We're claiming we had a lot of fruit to boot, but we don't. We're lifting up our leaves and are lifting up our little praise arms, and we're finding out we're fruitless. And boy, does it ever hurt. Now it's just so dry here, there's no moisture at all in the ground, and we're just sort of drying up down here. Where's God now? Where are you now that I need you? Where are you? Doesn't that bring you into this, then, Christians listening on the radio? Doesn't it bring you to this very firm resolve right now? Just come on down off of the high horse. Paul had to get knocked off a horse. He ended up on Straight Street until he seen the light. Don't we all have to come down to that we are the most ill-deserving, undeserving, hell-deserving? I mean, we have to come back down to that, and it's going to hurt a lot of folks because they got these great, big, huge folders full of lessons that they've learned from all and from different parts of the world. Me on a camel. Me with my arm around a polar bear. I mean, all over the world. And they missed all the blessings that were right there, right in their own backyard. Huh? Oh, Lord. Little boy come up to me today, and he's a little blonde kid, and he always yells at me. He said, "Pastor Paul!" And I look all over like I don't see him. Where's that noise coming from? "Pastor Paul!" I look all over, and then all of a sudden all these little kids are pointing. It's right over there, you know. God, isn't that a blessing? That made everything look so insignificant to me. That little boy wanting to put his arms around me and give me a hug. Doesn't that make everything else seem insignificant? Isn't that a miracle right there? Isn't that something? And so I had to shake my head and get rid of my dumb eyes. Rattle those snake eyes, you know, like they have in dice, you know. Rattle them. Rattle them bones. Shake off the effects of self. You want to get a blessing? Well, then be one. No, I had to come to that. It's all grace which made me any different at all. And love that has chosen me out of the rest of the world. I think all great Christians, you would be great sinners if God hadn't made you any different. The greater the Christian you are, the greater the sinner you would have been. Well, there's scripture to bear that out. They love me more, but sin more. Even you who are the defenders and the valiant defenders for the truth would have been just as valiant for the devil. If grace wouldn't have gotten a hold of you, where then can you boast? It is grace that has changed you. It is only because of Jesus. Are you proud? Do you exalt yourself? Hey, you have borrowed everything. We even are living on borrowed time. Did you ever stop to think of it that way? You're living on borrowed time. You think this time is yours? No, you're borrowing it. That becomes evident when people around you start dying. They just borrowed time. They borrowed air. And they ran out of air. They just borrowed. Oh, golly, wow. I don't know if I like this message or not. This just don't fit in. I'm just going to go ahead. I'm going to claim all the louder. It works. I know it does. Claim yourself hoarse. Until God works, you aren't going to work. When He works, you work. You got to work with God. Jesus didn't try to get away from trials. He says, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. What makes you think you're something special over these people that are out here? Because you've been made a vine, you think you're greater than any other branch? Or any other tree of the forest? What makes you think that you're something special? It's only my grace that makes you any different at all. It's only because of Jesus. You have nothing of your own. Of all things, most to be cursed, I believe, and despised is the pride of a Christian. Because we, above all others, have a million more reasons to be humble. Not proud, humble that God would choose us. And I think we should then walk lowly with God. Does God walk lowly? Oh, yes. He sat with sinners. I had a man downstairs and he said, you know, I was looking at all these pictures down here. And he says, you know, the thought came to me. And he was breathing Old Crow, I think, on me while he was speaking. Old Crow and something else. It was a concoction. You know, the thought comes to me when I look at these pictures. I look at these pictures and I say, brother, how many of these people that are outside here in these pictures waiting for groceries have been saved? I says, I couldn't really tell you. God is the one that saves. God is the one that gives the increase. Now, I says, you'll find a mop bucket over there and a mop. And you can take that mop bucket and you can go up to the front of the building up there and you can mop yourself right out the back door. Thank you. See, really, move of the Spirit is getting somebody to work that thinks he's spiritual. Because this flesh does not want to work. It has to be a move of the Spirit. And I knew I was with God when that man picked up that mop, went up there and mopped his place out. His holiness went up there and mopped the building out. Say amen, somebody. And half the preachers and people that are going to get into the holiness preaching, if you were to give them a mop, they'd wrap it around your face. You find out how holy people are when you ask them to do something, when you ask them to be fruitful. Then you just find out how holy they really are. Huh? A cow is more holy. A holy cow. And they are.
Thank you for listening to Pastor Paul's podcast. That was episode 244, part 1. Be sure to listen to the conclusion on Sunday. Have a great weekend. God bless you.